Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am Tara Lehman, your host, as well as a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Andrea Wasserman, founder of the Executive Express and who helps rising leaders become senior executives. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Tara.
I'm glad to have you here, and I'm looking forward to talking about leading with influence. But before we get to that, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background in leadership?
Absolutely. I have spent the past 20, 25 years doing what I call climbing the corporate ladder, which is a common expression in the US for going after those raises and promotions and making the job changes necessary to attain them. And having had success with that and having loved running businesses, I also realized that I was passionate about the entire people side of the equation and really helping other people I was leading accelerate their careers. And so earlier this year, I started the Executive Express, where I am an executive coach, or what I like to call a mentor for hire, in really guiding other people, the version of me maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago at a mid-career point, who really want to gain that advancement.
That's awesome. And I was like you, I climbed that corporate ladder as well over several years. And yeah, there's a lot to learn when we do that. And there's a lot that we can share as mentors or coaches. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's a lot to learn across companies and industries as well. And what's been really rewarding for me this year is realizing how much the different industries I've worked across, from fashion and beauty to tech and telecom to media and financial services, how much they have in common, and how you start to gain this pattern recognition that you can share with other people to help them in whatever type of organization they're working in.
Yes, they might be different industries, but some of the key concepts are the same, are they not?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's talk about with leading with influence. So before we get to more diving into that, just help our audience understand, what do you mean by that?
Leading with influence is one of my favorite topics because it is something that people feel mystified by, but that nearly everybody needs to do. And why do they need to do it? Because leading with influence is about getting people on board with what you are doing, what your vision is, what needs to happen, even and especially when they don't report to you. So this can mean that you need to collaborate with peers and make sure that they are following your lead. It can mean that in addition to a team that you may have reporting to you, you also need to gain the followership of more junior people who may report to somebody else. And not least, it means that you need to manage up both to your boss and to other more senior leaders in order to make sure that, again, they are on the same page as you and taking the necessary action toward your strategies, your vision, and your tactical needs.
And what I love that you bring up is all levels of the organizations, because a lot of people think, I'm a manager and I can't do anything about up, but I can do everything about down. But that's not true. We can absolutely help influence or share our ideas to create a vision or help meet the company's vision, right?
Exactly. I sometimes, instead of leading with influence, I'll say leading 360 degrees around.
I love that.
So it's certainly about the team that ladders up to you formally on an organizational chart, but it's also about the people who are diagonally down on that chart and lateral to you and up in all directions, not even just straight up.
Yeah, I agree. So I want to touch on that just a little bit since we're on the topic. If I am influencing my team, how or what strategies are there to start influencing my peers and then people up, above me who maybe aren't used to this? Maybe we haven't done this in our organization before, but I want to start to influence my personal things, but influence where the company could be going. How do we start doing that?
The first step toward leading with influence is understanding the goals and the challenges of everybody else. So it can never be just about you. If you want people to get on your train and head in the same direction as you and do that enthusiastically, you really need to understand what makes them tick stylistically, motivationally, but also really what are their goals? What are their incentives? How are they being graded, so to speak, within the organization? And once you understand this set of facts, you're able to really tailor not only your vision in some cases you may not want to change that, but you certainly can adapt what you're saying and how you're saying it in order to gain the collaborative efforts of everybody else. You know, really making an effort to make sure that what you're asking them to do, what you're asking them to buy into, is going to help them and their objectives as well as support you and yours.
And I think you have a couple of key points there, but there's one that doesn't come up very often. You know, I share this with leaders myself, is the motivation piece, understanding other people's motivation. We talk a lot about understanding their goals, maybe how they like to be communicated, but their motivation is huge in helping, you know, the influence, right? Or helping them move forward. Go ahead.
Exactly. The reason that it is so important to understand people's motivation is because it allows you to motivate them in the ways that are going to matter. So, for some people, they may be really excited to get involved with what you're asking them to pitch in on because they are trying to gain visibility in the organization, get additional experience, meet people in other functional areas. For other people, they may be showing up at work solely focused on getting the biggest possible bonus, for example. And so, in that case, it's not going to be enough to engage them and to reward them with learning and relationships, but you really need to make sure that what you're asking them to do is aligned with their financial incentives.
And you have a good point because a lot of business owners think it's all about money. And for some people, it is all about the money. That's their motivation. For others, it has nothing to do with that, right? It has to do with do my values match up? Am I being heard? Am I my ideas being shared and those types of things? So it's, you know, I think I agree that both sides are there. And I think a lot of people think it's always money and it not isn't
Exactly.
necessarily.
And people have different timelines. For some people, yes, long term, it may be about rising into very senior roles and getting paid in very big ways. But for some people, they may realize, rightly so, that often the way to do that is to play the so-called long game and invest now in building relationships, getting cross-functional experience, taking on what I like to call extracurricular projects at work, which are often the ones that somebody outside of your reporting line is working on and giving you the opportunity to be involved with.
And I have to say, that was me in my early days. You know, I would get project work. I wasn't even doing anything in, you know, for example, maybe I was in customer service and they had me source a new copier, photocopier, fax, scanner type machine, which was a project that taught me a lot about return and some accounting. So I eventually did move into accounting there. But those projects are the stepping stones in some cases, especially because I was in a smaller organization. Like that's a stepping stone for me. So you have a
A
good
common
point.
den Yeah, thank you. A common denominator in my career, and I think we have this in common, is that I have learned the most and been recognized the most when working on something that is outside of my core job description.
Yeah, bingo, exactly. When we used to do lean manufacturing or lean assessing, I was taught to go to our other sites globally and do some of that there as well, just as a casual role within my role. But people get to know you. It's about building those relationships and people getting to know you so that that next step happens and you can influence others by doing these odd projects, right?
Exactly.
Let me ask you this, because we have a global audience. So I'm wondering, what are some of these principles, some of them we may have already mentioned, that really, when it comes to leading with influence, are a little bit more global? They're universal and they're not specific to a country or an organization. What would you say?
The need to lead by understanding other people and what makes them tick is a universal principle. It crosses any kind of geographical borders. And it is a fundamental in doing business, whether you're trying to lead with influence internally or externally, looking at the first step as being understanding the person you're talking to or the person you need to talk to is never going to be the wrong thing to do.
It's the relationship building, right? Everybody
exactly
says build those relationships. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. And that is something that can vary from country to country and even from company to company within any given geography. There certainly are cultures, both organizational cultures and and global cultures, where building relationships is disproportionately important, and others where it can be more appropriate to be quick and transactional and just get the job done. So knowing that and reading those cues in any environment can be really helpful.
Let's bring it down then to, smaller organizations. Maybe they're sole proprietors, or maybe they have, under 25 people, to those huge global corporations that I worked in last. I mean, how does influence change when it goes from a very small organization to a very large organization? Even if we're middle management or higher up, like how does that change within those types of organizations?
In almost any organization now, the organizational chart is what's called matrixed, meaning that people have dotted line reporting relationships, or if it's not called a reporting relationship, it certainly is accountability to more than one part of the company. And I have yet to find an organization where that is not the case, regardless of the industry and regardless of the size. Now, certainly in a smaller company, does this mean that you have fewer people to bring along with you? Yes, and that can make things easier or more challenging, but it does seem to be a common denominator across company sizes and types.
Yeah, and you're right. Sometimes small organizations can have bigger issues with it than larger ones. I mean, either or, but we have to remember, just because an organization is small doesn't mean they don't have challenges around leading with influence. What are some of those common challenges that you see, say, in the smaller or medium-sized organizations that you're hearing from? What are those, especially now, what are those current challenges that you're seeing?
When I'm working with clients who are struggling to lead via influence, it can be for a number of reasons. A common reason is that they are not taking the time to get to know people and to understand what their job is and what their own goals are. And so they're picking up the phone and just trying to get people to check off an item on a to-do list that will help their own initiative. And that is almost never the way to go. It does require an investment upfront in understanding who this person is, even if not fully what motivates them, at least what is important to them in terms of performing. And then certainly putting in the time to communicate everything really, really effectively. The other common mistake that I see people making is that lack of strategic patient communications. I think one of the challenges can be that you may be all in on something and thinking about it 24/7 and want to engage a peer, let's say, in another functional area to work on this, to be part of it. And you may forget that for that person, they haven't thought about it since the last company-wide town hall when you shared information about it for 2 minutes. Yes. And so taking the time to bring them up to speed, to get their buy-in, to make them feel like a part of it, to give them all of the information that they need is critical.
I agree. And, I want to come back to the word time because you brought it up. And I tell people all the time, when you tell me you don't have enough time, that means you're not putting the effort up front, as you mentioned, especially when it comes to understanding your people so that you can lead with proper influence by individual in some cases, because that's maybe what you need to do. You need to understand their motivation and things like that. And I always say time doesn't change. And if we don't put the time and effort in at the beginning, you're going to have more problems later, right? Because people begin to believe or do what they're currently doing and you can't influence it easier later. But I also agree with your second point as well, because I think it's something that happens, right? We know something ahead of time. We are working on whatever this initiative is, even though we shared, hey, this is coming. We believe in it, we understand it, we get it, and then we just assume that they are where we are and they're not, right? So do you see that that sometimes influences leading with influence, that people are already thinking that these people should know this?
Either they're thinking people should know this, or they're just not thinking about it one way or another. And
Fair
so
enough.
maybe because they're enthusiastic, or maybe because they're rushed, or maybe because it's so intuitive for them, they kind of jump right into the fourth chapter, forgetting that nobody's read the beginning of the book.
So let me ask you this, because we talk a lot about building relationships and we know that that builds trust. So do you see that the role of trust or honesty and things like that is key to being a leader with influence?
Trust is critical to being a leader with influence. I would also argue that it's critical for any leader, no matter whom they're trying to lead.
Yes, I agreed.
It is, of course, can't be overstated. The importance of it can't be overstated when you're leading people who don't even report to you, whose annual performance conversation you're not leading, whose promotion you are not making decisions about. It is even more important, because they need to really like you, know you, and trust you in order to get on board.
So we've talked about a few things that people need to do and strategies as well, but when we do see these mistakes come up, and I'm sure you have a lot of common ones that you could share, maybe a couple with us today, because it will happen, right? We will fall into a bad habit, old habit, or suddenly not thinking it with the time commitment, whatever that is, right? So I'm sure there's some common mistakes you see leaders making around leading with influence. If you could share a couple of the top ones and maybe if somebody is listening here who's struggling with this, how do they do that course correction, or how do they fix the challenge?
One mistake I see when people are trying to lead through influence is that they are not communicating in a broad, compelling, strategic way, and so nobody wants to follow them. Another is that they are rushing to communicate something, whether it's well communicated or not, without really understanding their audience or their partner and what is going to motivate that person to get involved or what else is on that person's plate that may need to be reprioritized. A third mistake is failing to align with other people in the organization first. And I'll give you an example of this, Tara. It's really if you imagine that you are needing to engage support on a particular initiative from a junior team that does not report to you, and they report to one of your peers. Well, the best practice there is going to be to first bring along your peer, get that person's buy-in and even advocacy, and then go to that person's team. So those types of political missteps can also derail efforts to lead with influence. We like to say, oh, I don't get involved in politics, but if politics exists in the organization, you better be getting involved in the politics, or at least being aware enough of them to navigate them in a savvy way. So those are some big ones that I say.
Awareness, very important in that last one, right? Just even if that's what you are, is aware.
Oh, I'll
Go
add a
ahead.
fourth actually, if I have a second, and it is failing to realize all of the people you need to be influencing. Sometimes we
That's a
think,
big one.
oh, I'm going to bring in group A and group B and group D, and you've completely forgotten that all of those groups touch group C, or the initiative is going to have to touch group C, and then they get brought in much later and feel left out and disengaged.
It's a lot about breaking down the silos when we're leading with influence, right? And for those who are listening, don't know what I mean by that. It's like very departmentalized. Like, okay, this department does this, but that department does that. And there's not enough communication or interaction between the two, which happens because everybody is generally some sort of flow of a process in the organization between people, right? So, yeah, that's a really good one that you brought up there, Lass. I think it's really important that people understand that those siloing things can stop with the influencing on a bigger level as well if it's too siloed. Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to come back real quick to communication because you touched on it. It's a favorite topic of mine. Give us a couple of tips for our leaders out there on how they can use communication to lead with influence, especially around an organization that isn't used to this?
Communication, as we've discussed, is so important when leading through influence. And a good place to start, actually, is asking questions. Because as we were just saying, you really want to understand other people's goals, objectives, motivations, fears, challenges before trying to get them on your train. Yeah. And so starting out with questions is a really, really good communications best practice there. Another is making sure that you're communicating the full spectrum of what people need to know. Mm-hmm. And not assuming that they know more than they do, or they have a better understanding of it, or a better memory of something you may have said in the past. And another really is making sure that you're being efficient with their time. Because more often than not, when you're leading through influence, it's because you are spending a bulk of time on certain work. And now you need to bring in other people who are going to spend less of their time on it. It may be even an extracurricular project at work for them. Mm-hmm. And so if you are assuming, again, it's about making these false assumptions. If you're assuming that they have all the time in the world to come to your meetings and read your updates, they may end up not doing that and not getting the information that you need them to have. So part of the communications need is about prioritizing, templatizing, and making things as easy as possible for those partners.
And I would add too, is talking in the language of the people you're speaking to, because that is sometimes, I remember we had town hall corporately, so globally, and the CFO came on and started talking about P&Ls and balance sheets. None of our people who were on the shop floor knew exactly what they were talking about. And so really talking to the people that are there, whatever level, so that they understand what you're sharing, right?
Yes, let's add that to the list for sure.
For sure, yeah. Make sure you're talking to the audience in a way they can receive it. So otherwise it's just, you know, mumbo jumbo to somebody maybe who isn't a CFO, right?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also want to come back to the asking questions thing, because what I always tell people is when it comes to asking questions, it's all about being curious. And when we are curious, we start to listen more. We get that active listening starting, and we listen at a deeper level because now we're just being really curious. So I love that you brought up the asking questions, because I think it is a key component for leaders with communication. Absolutely. So before we sum up today, could you let me know and let our leaders out there know, what's that one piece of advice that you would give them if they took nothing else today? What is that one thing you're saying, leave with this if you want to lead with influence?
The biggest piece of advice that I have for people is that doing your job is never enough. And it is tempting to feel like I checked all of the boxes, I fulfilled my job description, I did a great job on these projects, and therefore I want the next raise, I want a promotion. And really it takes looking at your entire work landscape more broadly. And I share that today because it's such a good tie-in to the concept of leading through influence and getting involved in extracurricular projects that may not be your primary focus, because those are the ways that you show that you can lead a broader sphere of people and different types of work.
And I have to say, I loved that when I was, you know, moving up the ladder and going to see other sites and auditing them, or doing the leadership train, the training at other sites. It was a lot of fun too. Just add something else into the job, but also build your skill set and allows you to get there and influence other people. So I love that tip. So thank you so much for talking about a great topic today. If our audience did want to learn a little bit more about you, find you online, connect with you, how can they do that?
Thanks for asking. They can go to theexecutiveexpress.com. They can find me on LinkedIn at Andrea Wasserman, at Instagram at The Executive Express, TikTok, The Executive Express, and YouTube and Substack as well.
Excellent. And so everybody knows how to spell her last name. It's Wasserman. Thanks again so much for being here today. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for the conversation, Tara.
Of course, we want to thank our audience. We do hope you gained some valuable insights on leading with influence today from our conversation with Andrea. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave us a great rating. This helps us and our guests like Andrea reach even more leaders with these helpful stories, tips, and advice. We love to help other leaders grow and thrive. If this episode got you thinking, we would love for you to consider our brand new Amplifying Leadership community. Information is in the show summary. Leadership is better when we do it together. For more information about all of our leadership services, please visit us anytime at amplifyingleadership.ca, a division of Twin Life Coaching and Business Services. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.